Those who don't know me, and I see so many new faces, I'm Ruben Lima. I've been away for the last 5 weeks after 3.5 years stuck in China. It was awesome going back home and see family, but it's also nice to see you back and have the privilege to share the word of God with you. I know you've been studying the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. This is a passage that is so dear to me. I can share with you, I was about 9 years old. I went to a summer camp. It was one of my first ones. But this one was particularly different because I knew no one there. So I used to go with my church, but this was a different one organized by Young Life. And they taught this. They taught us about the fruit of the Spirit. So I remember as a child, just painting a banana and painting an orange, and I still remember that. That got stuck in my brain forever. And still today, I remember this passage as one of my references. And it's interesting, and that's the word of God. When you it's alive, and when you look back, you can reread. And when you reread, but with experience, you gain new perspective. You can extract more from it. And it was interesting to go through it today. Today, we will reflect a bit more on gentleness. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. And sometimes I have to admit, it's when I have to explain it, it's not easy to differentiate between kindness, goodness, gentleness, because they cross over, right? It's hard to explain. It's hard to differentiate. And often gentleness, and that's the title of the message today, is misunderstood and is confused with the other two I just mentioned. Usually the other two, and we will, kindness and goodness is more about what you do, and gentleness is more about how you do it, how you deal with others. Not so much about what you do, but how you do it. I think maybe you don't, but I can share, maybe you know. Usually there's a say that rugby is a game for gentlemen and football is a game for hooligans. You know this one? And it's totally right. If you watch a football game or a soccer game, if you're American, if you watch a football game, you see that players really do not respect one another very often, right? They fake, they pretend they were hit. And it's a small touch, and especially if they're Latins, right? They roll on the floor and they shout at the ref. And you just watch a game if you haven't done so. That's really an example of no gentleness, right? And then in rugby, you have the opportunity. There's so many opportunities that you could actually hurt your opponents. There's so many, and that would go unseen. But players really respect one another. They really respect one another. And that's the common understanding when we think about gentleness, is how you treat others. I'm a gentleman if I let my ladies first, right? I'm a gentleman there. I'm a gentleman if I sit on the bus and I see an older person needing a seat, I stand up, right? That's how we associate gentleness. But you have to check the biblical principle. What is the context? What is gentleness? And then we'll see that it's way more deeper than that. If you check the King James Version, King James Dictionary, you will see, and I put meekness because it's a good synonym to gentleness, and you will see it here. So meekness is mild of temper, soft, gentle. You see their synonyms there. Not easily provoked or irritated, yielding, given to forbearance under injuries. You lose your patience If you're meek, you don't lose your patience with ease. You're humble. And that's another one we're going to stop by and learn a bit more. I'm submissive to the divine will. I'm submissive. That's a good way to show that gentleness. I submit. I'm not proud. I'm not self-sufficient. Have you ever thought that gentleness is associated with not being self-sufficient? We're going to look to it a bit deeper today. Or refractory. Not peevish and apt to complain. We complain a lot. Nowadays, we always complain a lot, especially with social media. It's so easy to complain and express our feelings and how what we think about it. Everyone has an opinion. Everyone has an opinion. I have to share their opinion. And social media is terrible in that sense. Sometimes it's good. Like, you may not have an opinion. It's okay if you don't. And if you have, like, keep it to yourself. If it's not building up anyone, keep it to yourself, right? Unless you're asked. So, we know that this is an important fruit, like all fruits. We have in Genesis 1, God saying, be fruitful. When he created us, he said, be fruitful. Then we see in John 15, we said, Jesus instructs us to remain in him, remain in Jesus, right? Remain in him and be fruitful. We can bear fruits. And he says that the Father prunes us. We bear fruits, the Father prunes us so we can give even more fruits. And that process is sometimes it's very painful, but it's needed. He prunes us. He also says that he cuts off the branches who do not bear fruit. Ouch. In Matthew 15, Jesus said that we will be recognized by our fruits. Our fruits. Not going to be our talents, our gifts. It's our fruits. So this is an important one for us. And it's actually combined the meekness, humility. They go hand in hand, as we've seen, and gentleness is one of the hardest ones. It's one of the hardest ones. We can spend the whole life and we'll always have space to grow this. Often the person who needs humility does not recognize one needs humility. And that is actually a sign that that person needs humility, right? And it's kind of a circle. I'm not humble and I don't recognize I'm not humble. So only the Holy Spirit to reveal that to us. But look what the Bible says here. God blesses those who are humble. And I'm reinforcing the idea that gentleness is it's also about being humble and meek. They go hand in hand there. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. In another version, you have the words meek. Okay? So God blesses. God wants us to be humble and meek. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. This was Jesus saying. For I am gentle and humble. So we are his imitators. That's our goal, right? To become more like Christ. Gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. We'll get back to this verse later to check the context. For now, I'm just trying to reinforce the point that gentleness, meekness, and humility, they're all related. Point number one is a misconception, right? It's easy to think that usually people who are too humble are weak. It's kind of cultural, right? If you're too humble, if you don't stand out, if you don't defend yourself, you're weak, right? But that doesn't mean. And we're going to see how Jesus' example is one of the best ones. Look at this. And this prophecy is mentioned in the four Gospels. So it's a very important prophecy. But look at this. In the same sentence, we've got king and gentle. And we know gentle is humble and meek. Can we have a king and humble person in the same sentence? See, your king comes to you. righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey. So Jesus, you guess a king is powerful and strong, right? King has power. So it's possible to be humble, to be gentle, and still be powerful and strong. Look what Jesus did here. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. What an example here, right? So he had the power. He had the power to do things on his own. And we know he suffered. Even asked God, if it's possible, remove this from me, right? But he still submitted to God. He still obeyed to God. He still didn't do things in his own flesh and his own power. He submitted to God. That's an example of being humble. And that's something we should do. That's an example. In other verses, we have... That was for the other one. So he showed... A key idea here is that he was strong, but he had control over that strength. The same way we can show that, the same way he did. No, I would like, and this is the first point I would like you to remember, that how often do you do this? How often in stressful situations when you really have to show you're a gentleman there, right? You have to show that fruit, that you really want to show and go in your own strength, in your own power. How often do you stop? You're able to stop yourself. How often you're able to wait on God like Jesus did? How often? But know that if you do that, if you let God and if you submit to God, then better things will happen to you. Okay, as you said, God blesses the humble. It's encouraging to know that when we humble ourselves by becoming obedient to God, the Father, and submitting to Him, we share the same power Jesus had. That's another perspective here. You want to have the same power Jesus had? It's here. Submit, be obedient, and you will share the same power. It's encouraging. Got the point number two now. Second perspective here. Gentleness can accomplish difficult tasks, and we have them. And we will see that there's a tension here. Normally, if I'm humble, I'm not going to say, if I have to talk to someone saying that someone was wrong, like if I'm humble, no, I'm not better than that person. I'm not going to say anything because I'm judging. So let that person go. That person has his one's own journey. So I'm not going to say anything, right? It's very often we have this thinking pattern. And there's this tension between being humble and still address others, correcting others. Very specific example, for instance, as a parent, if you're a parent, you have to correct your child, right? But still, in a gentle way. How often do we do that? How often we are gentle with our friends? What about your boss? When you have to talk, there's something wrong there, and you have to address your boss. How are you going to do that? Right? You're going to stay quiet? You still have to say something, right? So you have that every day we have that happening. So let's check some examples here. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue, soft speech, can break a bone. Here in this one, the second one, this is in the context of rulers. As I said, someone above you, right? Can be your ministry leader. It can be your teacher. It can be your dad, right? So how are you going to address that? Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always be gentle toward everyone. All right, so far, like, be gentle. But how do we actually, and I'm going to show you some examples from the Bible that we have to correct others. All right, I have to be gentle. But still, I have to correct others. Look at this one. I will pass fast here. But the word here is restore him. We have to restore others. We are instructed to do so. If anyone is caught in transgression, I have to restore in a spirit of gentleness. I have to go and tell him his fault. I gotta go. Admonish one another with all wisdom. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. There's one more here. There's also rebuke in Luke 17:3. Rebuke. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. So we are instructed to do so, but we are instructed to do it using soft words. Right? It's gentle speech, but we are instructed. What I'm asking here, and that's kind of my self-reflection here. This is, I don't know about you, but I find it hard. It's so hard. Right? In my family, with my students, in my workplace. I gotta say, you're doing something that is not okay. I gotta say it to you. In church, that happened to me. Right? The worship band. Come on. You didn't practice enough. Now we're wasting time here because you didn't practice. You didn't do your homework. How am I going to say this in a gentle way? Sometimes, like, to avoid conflict, I'm not going to say it. But then that will grow. Maybe I'm going to share with someone else, but I'm never addressing that person. And we are instructed to do so in a gentle way. It's not easy. We really need the Spirit working. We need the wisdom. We got to pray. This is such a sensitive point. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. If you want to go deeper here during the week, I encourage you to read 1 Samuel 25. If you don't know the story, you will see that a well-timed, well-chosen words persuaded David. Right? You're going to see Abigail there. When David was very hot-headed with Nabal. Nabal actually means fool. He was fool and hot-headed. They were ready to fight. David was ready to slander everyone, to work on his own power, as he said in the first point. Abigail, I don't know, curiously, a woman, right? The Bible says so. Intelligent. And you go and check her speech, and the way she and David would be the king, so he knew, and she was able to persuade him. So I encourage you to go and read 1 Samuel 25. Another example, Wilberforce. So he worked and he was outlawing slavery. So his speech, so slavery, to ban slavery from the U.S. and England. So he was one of the first ones, speeching and persuading others. He was the first one there, but he was patient and used the right words. So the leaders above him would actually consider that. Right? So in a workplace, how can you do that in your workplace and actually show and bear the fruit in your workplace here? If you see someone needs a correction there, rather than keeping it to yourself or sharing that with someone else, how are you going to do that in your workplace and show how you're different? I could share a non-example. I was thinking, I'm going to share something, a way that when I show I was gentle, but no, I'm going to share a non-example. That when you do not choose the right timing, the right words, the right modes, the right place, then everything goes wrong. Right? So as a worship leader, I had another worship leader. So I was leading the whole group. And this worship leader was often rude with others. So not a gentle person, actually. She could have spoken in a different way, but that was ongoing. And other people started complaining. And there was a day that I got to address that. You know, when there's conflict, there's many ways to resolve conflict. Sometimes you have to ignore. Sometimes you have to negotiate and compromise. Sometimes you have to just scale down. But there's confrontation also. It's a tough one. There's confrontation. So I told her, you're going to stop leading now. For a while, you're not going to lead anymore because of such and such. And those words, like, we had issues. We had issues. That when we went to the pastor, and that, like the Bible says, when two people, they do not agree, then it went above. But looking back, I could have used different words to smoothen that situation. I think on the other, because what happened there is that it went very top down in that situation. So I wasn't wise enough to use the right words. Let's look at point number three. Humility. Humility is the key ingredient of success and pride. That's another concept now. So the opposite of humility is pride. Okay. Pride is the hardest one to conquer, to go and overcome our pride. And is the hardest one to get under control. Do you know Lucifer's sin? What was Lucifer's sin? Pride. And we will take some time to look at what happened there. But look at this verse first. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. That's how God treats it. You're humble, God will exalt you. Your pride, you'll be put down. You will be put down. And remember what Jesus gave a very good example of. When you go to a wedding feast, where should you sit? At the top, near the guest, and then the guest might send you to the back, and you go down. Then you go down. Or you stay at the back, and if you're important, the guest will exalt you. All right? That's a very good example from humility. But let's look at the non-example. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. He will lift you up. Let's look at before pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. And there you go. I forgot those two verses I still had. Look what happened to Lucifer. Look at the speech. Look at Lucifer's speech. Even though he was perfect, he was made perfect, he was beautiful, but still, Look at pride here. I will ascend. I will raise. I will see it. I. 5 times. It's all about me. All about me. I'm going to take your place. It's I. How often do you think more about you than others? Right? How often you do that? How often I do that? Guess human nature. I need to take care of myself first, right? That's what the world says. Look what happened to Jesus. He was humble and God was exalted. Jesus was exalted, highly exalted. Look what happened to Satan. He conquered what? A place where? A very low place, then death, right? He was put in the pit. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it at all. Here, that's going to lead me to point number 4. Because there's another tension here. Right? Because sometimes humility, I will start, that can lead us, and that's a misconception, that I'm going to start thinking low about myself. Right? So I'm going to address that misconception. And that's the point here. When pride is disguised, pride can be disguised. And this was a good exercise to see different shapes of pride. This one, the first one is self-sufficiency. You know, when things go well, especially when we work in church, you have so many people. And I often have to remind myself, it's not about me. Things go well. And, you know, sometimes you get a compliment and your human nature, wow, no, it's not me. It was God. God used you. Give him the glory. God used me. But we are tempted. We always have to find against that human nature. And, you know, and it's important to be independent and to have some self-sufficiency. I actually teach that to my kids because they all need to have a certain self-sufficiency, right? But still depending on God. Look at Paul's example here. I have reason to be enthusiastic. So Paul was excited because things were working about all Christ Jesus has done through me in my service to God. Yet, I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me. Bringing the Gentiles to God by my message, and by my message, he's talking about my message, but still recognizing God, right? And by the way, I worked among them. I worked. It was my message. It was my work. And I have enthusiasm, still okay. But it's a thin line between relying and boasting in God. And it's me. It was me. I. When you do things, do not let selfishness or pride be your guides. Instead, be humble and give more honor to others than to yourselves. Do not be interested only in your own life, but be interested in the lives of others. It's quite clear. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. What are other forms? I'm just trying to dig deeper, but the other ones I'm just going to mention. What other ways that pride can be disguised? And you can do your own self-reflection here. So self-sufficiency is clearly one. And it's easy when things go well, and especially and when you're working in a team, and the things go well with your team, you start thinking about your contribute to the team, right? Oh, the team succeeded because of me. That's the devil here, right? So it's important to address that. Look at others. Perfectionism. Perfectionism can hide, right? I want to do it perfect because if it's not perfect, what other people are going to think about me, right? So I want to do it well, the best I can. But that can be pride. The inability to trust and submit to God. A need to control circumstances. I don't know. maybe I'm going to have people here because it's kind of control freaks. I need to be in control. It's really hard to let it go. I, as a teacher, for instance, it's way easier to have my students right here. You stay quiet. And I know what you're doing. I know what you're learning. But letting it go. Give them independence. Give them their own time. Right? It's harder. Let them study what they want. And maybe I'm going to have 4 or 5 different groups here. And it's harder to control. And we don't like to let it go. Right? So that's just one example. So let it go. You can't control everything. You want to control your kids. As a dad, I know I can't control everything, but we are tempted to do it, especially with teenagers. Then they become way harder. I can't. I have to accept God is in control. That's their choice. I will lead them. I will teach them. I will pray for them. I can't control. Submit that to God. Status, fear of what people think. So these are all ways. Maybe you identify yourself. Another way is too humble, right? I'm humble, and then by being too humble, that might be a way of pride. This looks like contradicting, right? So I worry too much. I'm insecure. Sometimes I have very, very low self-esteem. I have the victim mentality. Oh. But usually what happens there is that I don't want to show that I failed, right? So if I say I'm not too good, then it's easier to explain myself there. I'm not going to get too much involved and because I can't, all right? So those are always just the last point. Pride does not mean having low self-esteem. As I said, there's a tension here. If I'm too humble and I'm not going to say anything, I consider others better than me, I have no self-worth, I can't do this, and there's always someone better than me, so I'm not going to take that role in church because there's someone better than me. I can't preach, so I'm not, no. We forget, we have so many examples in the Bible. Oh, I cannot be a Sunday school teacher. Other times, people tend to like, okay, those small jobs, I'm not going to do it. Not really important, right? So I've got these two types, this contrast here. But it's clear that pride does not mean having low self-esteem. Look at this verse here. Take my yoke, I said I would come back. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So take my yoke, and you'll find rest. You know, humility gives us internal rest. This rest here is internal rest. Humility helps me to be comfortable with who I am. And I have joy when I'm comfortable with who I am. Humility will set me free. I don't worry about what others think. And this is given by Jesus. So submit to him. Today we sang about this. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So if his works are, I am his craftsmanship. Right? He made me. He made you. What it says here. You are wonderful. Right? Can you say to the person right beside you, you are wonderful. Yeah. God made you. God made you. So be humble, but know you're wonderful. Right? We're all wonderful because God made us, but I'm still humble. Like this one. Look at our value. You are not like that, for you are a chosen people, You are royal priests. You are a holy nation. You are God's possession. Submit because you are God's possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. So if you ever doubt about your self-worth, if you're humble at the point that you do not have the self-esteem and the self-confidence, know that God made you and you have a role in the kingdom. This is very well known. Maybe you all know this one, right? This definition by Pastor Rick Warren. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. And as we read in the other verses, take more time to think about others. Be intentional. What can I do for others today? I often find myself, it's easy to come here and say like, okay, do your self-reflection. We are so busy. I have so many things to do. I have no time to sneak out of my space and look for others and have a conversation with other people around me and look for the needs. Very often the needs are not going to shine there. You have to look for them, right? You have to look for them. People around you never know, because we are our nature, like we are, okay, I'm going to hide it. I don't want other people to worry about me, right? It's a kind of pride also. I'm not going to share my needs. I will try to avoid it as much as possible. Practical ways to develop humility, to grow this fruit. What are practical ways? Admit my weaknesses. Admit my weaknesses. Being patient with others' weaknesses. Rare, this one. It's rare. I grew up with this idea. We have 2 ears and 1 mouth. Right? So that says everything. Listen more than you speak. Being open to correction. Our days. Someone coming and correcting me. Who do you think you are? Right? You're not better than me. Oh, I saw you. I've got two kids, so I got a preteen. And so often when I say something, oh, but you and you said, Sarah, you did da da da. Mom did this and this. She notices everything. It's easier to, like, rather than looking at myself to see what others, right? And taking things out of context sometimes. If you have kids, you know. And then I still have to show gentleness in my speech. It's a hard one. Be open to correction, even from your kids. God may be using your kids to correct you. Maybe they don't do it in a gentle way. Finding the spotlights on others. Compliment others. You know, I got these and I really believe that there's a good balance. When you're good and people stop saying the good things you do, like in your workplace, sometimes you need some reassurance, and we like it. We all like it, and we need it. But someone told me one time, if people don't say anything, that means you're consistent. Because people, when they come and give you a compliment, after they give you a goal right after. You do this well, but try to, you know, it's a way to the good sandwich, positive, negative, positive, right? So when someone comes to me, give me a compliment, what do you want? Right? That happens. What do you want? And in church, that happens also. Give a compliment normally, or we want something. Let's admit it. Sometimes we want. Other times we're genuine. But then sometimes we don't give that compliment because of this pride thing also. Because you're going to start, no, it's the glory is to God. But it's still good to point the spotlight on others. Rather than pointing out the mistakes, give more positive feedback to one another. Amen? Just want to talk about one more thing. It's very, very fast. I don't know. Just had this one right at the end of the messages. Maybe it's out of place, out of structure. But I was thinking, it's another way of this guy's pride. It's a self-righteousness. You think you're right. You know you are right. There's a conflict. You know I'm right. It's hard. It's usually have some, you did something that wasn't correct there, right? But you know you're right. And sometimes you are. For most of it, you are. And pride hinders your ability to forgive. I don't know, maybe I have one person here. I just felt this right at the end. Maybe I have someone here who still has that past experience there stuck and you cannot go over it. Or maybe you have someone to forgive. But because you know you are right and you're waiting for that person to take the step and you can't forgive. That's a way of pride. Can you show some gentleness there? Consider that. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, today I surrender my pride and I lay my sinful attitudes at your feet. Teach me to respond with gentleness and humility to the people in my life, including the people who have hurt me. Help me to recognize pride, disguised pride, O Lord, when it creeps into my thoughts and my attitudes. Teach me to value what you value rather than what the world values, O Lord. Help me to live courageously for you, putting your truth above other people's opinions and my own selfish desires. Help me to remember that you alone are the source of all good things that come into my life. And to acknowledge your blessings with the words I speak. Oh Lord, give us wisdom to select the words we speak, the timing, the attitude. Thank you for your patience with us, O Lord, as we learn to live in obedience to you. Amen.